You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to the second of four podcasts on ulcerative colitis hosted by Med Learning Group, titled Histologic Remission as a Treatment Target in Ulcerative Colitis. Is it ready for prime time? This series is intended to meet the educational needs of gastroenterologists, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants who treat patients with UC. My name is Dave Chapman, your host for this podcast series. In today's episode, we'll be talking about histologic healing, associated clinical trials data, as it applies to the management of patients with ulcerative colitis. It's my pleasure to have joining me today Dr. Ryan Ungaro, MD, Associate Professor of Medicine at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai.
Thanks, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Mine too. I want to start with the first question for you. You've written that the treatment strategy for UC has evolved into a treat-to-target approach involving both resolution of patient-reported outcomes and endoscopic remission. I'm curious, how do you develop and discuss your treatment target with an individual patient?
It really, and this is something that we, you know, we frequently discuss how things in medicine are, there's a science to medicine, right? There's the hard data, but there is an art to it as well, where you have a bit of patient-to-patient individualization. And, you know, developing specific targets, you know, I really try to go for what we believe is the gold standard in every patient as much as possible. And that, you know, based on the STRIDE-2 guidelines, which was an expert consensus of IBD experts around the world of what our targets should be, I really try to go for clinical remission so that, you know, your stool frequency is normalized, your rectal bleeding is gone, plus endoscopic remission as well, which depending on which guideline you look at is a Mayo endoscopic score of 0 or 1, and Mayo score of 0 tends to do better than a Mayo score of 1. So ideally a Mayo score of 0. However, there is some inter-observer variability there. So, my Mayo score of 1 may be slightly different than someone else's. And so that's why they give that range of 0 to 1. So for most patients, I'll try to go for that, both clinical resolution and endoscopic resolution. But, you know, really depends if, you know, you have a patient who is, newly diagnosed, naive to therapies. That's someone where I may try to really push and try to, you know, my goal being definitely endoscopic Mayo score of 0, as well as maybe even histologic remission as well, that on biopsies that there have even no inflammation present on a biopsy. Because I think in those bio-naive patients that have not been exposed to multiple therapies, the clinical trial data would suggest that you can have higher rates of response and remission, both on these objective metrics of endoscopy and histology. Where things start to, you know, be more individualized are where patients had many therapies not work for them, and you finally have them on a therapy where they're doing well. They may not be perfect, but they're a lot better than they had been, and you don't have that many more treatment options to offer them. And that's where you may adjust your target. So it's a bit based on the patient's history, where you may adjust the target and say, okay, you know, this is based on how refractory your disease has been. This is actually a good place. And I think, you know, if we don't want to jump ship on a therapy that seems to be doing you quite well, maybe not perfect, but doing well. And then, you know, obviously patient preferences come into role here as well. I really try to explain to them the benefit of objective healing, but some patients, you know, that they feel good, they really don't want to change their therapy. And ultimately, you know, it's their body and their decision about, you know, how much therapy or type of therapy they want to go on. And so there's this constant discussion about, okay, what is your goal? What is my goal? And can we meet, you know, either marry that together so that we're meeting both goals, or come up with something in between that's reasonable. So that's really, you know, it ends up being a discussion with the patient where I review with them that, you know, we think clinical plus endoscopic remission is the goal. Histologic is icing on the cake if we can do that, particularly if you haven't been on many therapies, potentially push for that. But then ultimately it's, you know, discussion with the patient about what their personal goal is.
I'm curious, I know this is a huge ask, but given the time that we have, but can you give us a top line review of current clinical trial data and histologic remission as a study endpoint? I know it's developing.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, it obviously is a big topic. So I can hit on some of the, you know, major themes. And I think the first theme and point to make is that The clinical trial endpoints have evolved over time. Just as I was saying, our treatment targets and clinical practice have evolved over time. That's been partially informed by the clinical trials. So going from clinical remission alone to endoscopic remission, and more recently, you know, just over the past few years, including as a endpoint, which the FDA has recommended, a histologic assessment. So doing both your endoscopy and also some sort of histologic assessment. What specific assessment histologically is done is not yet fully agreed upon and is not standardized, but there should be some histologic assessment, which you'll be seeing in a lot of the recent trials over the last 3-4 years. Most of these trials are doing either a Gbosch index or a Robarts index, where you can say that there, particularly with the Gbosch score, that a score 3 or less is histologic remission, where they will combine both a endoscopic assessment plus the histologic assessment to say something called histologic endoscopic mucosal healing, or HEMI. Just to put this out there, because this is some terminology you'll be hearing more and more with the clinical trials. So HEMI, or histologic endoscopic mucosal healing, is where you see that both endoscopically, where you're looking with the scope, and histologically, the biopsy, that patients are improving. And, you know, this is, I think, a testament to the, you know, the efficacy of our therapies, that we are able to meet these strict endpoints in essentially all of our most newly approved therapies, whether that is the anti-IL-12/23s like ustekinumab, or the JAK inhibitors like upadacitinib, or the S1P agonists like ozanimod, where you can look at these trial endpoints and see the more traditional endpoints, clinical response, endoscopic improvement, but you can also look for these mucosal healing assessments that are based on histology and or combining endoscopy and histology together. I think one other theme here to note is that our rates of endoscopic improvement are good, but still, you know, we still have a treatment gap in IBD, that we still need better treatments, better strategies, that the endoscopic improvement rates across trials in ulcerative colitis, you know, range anywhere from 15 and as high as 50%. When you look at the histologic correlates in that same, those same trials, you can see that when you add on that even, you know, stricter endpoint of histologic healing, that the rates of meeting that even stricter endpoint are lower, but they are better than placebos. So, for example, in trials with ustekinumab, you can see that you're over placebo, you're reaching 20% rates of histologic endoscopic mucosal healing compared to 8% in placebo. And you see that similar type of, you know, similar type of delta across trials. And I think where this is going to play a bit of a role, especially once we can standardize across pathologists, across trials, what histologic assessments we're doing, is that if you can do histologic assessments in addition to the clinical and endoscopic, you can actually even get even lower placebo rates in these trials. And if you have a lower placebo rate where, you know, you know that someone's on a placebo and you're not really getting any therapy that is affecting their disease, you can actually maybe have a smaller number of patients in a trial and get trials done more efficiently. So, you know, the main messages with the clinical trial data are that histologic improvement is possible with our therapies, that the different scoring systems being used does vary from trial to trial, and the FDA has recommended to use some sort of histologic endpoint. So we'll be seeing this more and more. And just the last point to make is that the histologic remission rates tend to be lower than what we're typically used to see, which makes sense because you're going for an even deeper level of remission. But some trials would suggest that patients who are naive of anti-TNF therapies, naive of multiple biologics, that histologic remission rates are higher in that group than in patients who've been exposed to multiple medications, which makes sense, is consistent with other endpoints that we've seen as well. So I think these histologic endpoints are going to be increasingly seen in the clinical trial data that we're looking at to inform our clinical practice. So we need to become a bit more familiar with it as we're reading and interpreting these trials.
Great, thank you. It sounds like it's a very exciting time with the clinical trials that are ongoing and the evolution of the different endpoints for treatment. I'm curious, with that in mind, how do you decide to use biologic or other targeted therapy early, or when to use them in treatment?
So this is where, this is something we discuss a little more detail on one of the other podcasts, but I try to look at patients' disease activity and severity together. And the idea there is that these are two complementary concepts: disease activity, how sick someone is in this moment in time, versus severity, which is how aggressive has their disease course been overall and how how at risk is this patient for having a hospitalization or surgery due to their colitis? So, you know, I try to combine both how sick is this patient right now? And so looking at things like how, you know, how sick are they clinically, how many bowel movements they're having, how much, you know, are they seeing blood frequently? Are their inflammatory markers elevated? Their CRP, calprotectin, are elevated? The albumin is low. That would be a particularly a marker to say this is someone who is particularly sick. If you're having, you know, a high burden of symptom and inflammatory burden based on these objective markers that are non-invasive objective markers, that's someone that I'm more concerned about. And I want to get on, consider doing an advanced therapy, more targeted therapy more quickly. And I pair that with their endoscopic assessment. So someone who's a Mayo score of 0 or 1 is much different than a Mayo score of 2 or 3. And so someone who's a Mayo score 2 or 3, having lots of symptoms, having elevated CRP calprotectin, that's someone that I'm going to have a low threshold to start on a biologic or small molecule therapy. And I think the key theme, the key thing to keep in mind is that whatever therapy you start, you want to be reassessing on a frequent basis, at a minimum every 3 months, but really when you're starting a new therapy and someone who's particularly sick, even sooner. You know, you should be seeing an improvement in that first 2 to 4 weeks at the longest. And if it's not, they're not getting better, to rapidly step up to your next therapy. And so, you know, I also will take into consideration the patient's personal history and their risk factors for complications, which is that concept of disease severity. So someone who's had multiple hospitalizations, or a meeting for the first time in the hospital, they're hospitalized right now, someone who has extensive disease, has required lots of steroids, can't get off of steroids, those are patients that I'm going very quickly to a biologic or targeted therapy. And I think just for routine clinical day-to-day practice, both the ACG, AGA, and ECHO have guidelines that can give you a bit of a framework for, okay, who's someone that is that more moderately to severely sick person that I need to be more concerned about and think about starting a targeted therapy more quickly.
Is there any data investigating the combination of biologics in moderate to severe disease?
We have seen that while we have a lot of effective, efficacious medications, that we do have a large treatment gap where, you know, we get like a third of patients into remission at a year. Maybe we could push that number to 50% with really aggressive, tight monitoring, adjusting a therapy. But that still leaves a significant percentage of patients that, you know, we're not able to get into remission and help their colitis improve. Because of that treatment gap, there's a lot of interest in other strategies to improve remission rates. And one of these strategies is looking at combination therapies. And, you know, this is stemming from seeing success with combination therapy, not in combining biologics, but in combining anti-TNF therapies with immunomodulators. So this would be a seminal trial, the UC Success trial by Remo Panaccione. This is done now almost 10 years ago, where they saw that patients who were on infliximab and azathioprine compared to azathioprine alone or infliximab alone, these are patients with UC, that they did better than on individual monotherapies. And now that we have other targeted therapies, there's been interest in seeing maybe if we combine some of these biologic therapies or targeted therapies, we can get even higher remission rates, and kind of moving this idea of combination from combining a biologic with an immunomodulator to two biologics, or a biologic and a targeted small molecule. And there are actually clinical trials ongoing looking at this. One of the first to report out in ulcerative colitis is called the VEGA study, which some of you may have seen news releases on. And this was a trial where they combined an anti-TNF, golimumab, with an anti-IL-23 therapy, guselkumab. So two targeted monoclonal antibodies against two different cytokines. And when they combined these therapies for ulcerative colitis patients, they saw that the patients in combination did do better than on patients in monotherapy, particularly during the induction of remission phase of trials and looking at objective metrics like endoscopic healing. I think this is obviously something that is intriguing and exciting, that potentially you could identify patients who are higher risk or particularly sick patients to combine therapy early on with two biologics. I think there's a lot of questions that linger with, obviously, costs. Will insurance companies allow this? But also the just feasibility and safety profiles. You know, combining two biologics, early data suggests that the risk profile is probably acceptable, but we need longer-term data. And then two, just the feasibility and difficulty that could potentially be associated for patients with having to manage, you know, two advanced therapies, two targeted therapies, whether they are injectables, IVs, and having to do, you know, schedule two different, you know, medications instead of one. So I think it's a, you know, very intriguing, interesting time that we're entering into, looking at different combinations. This is probably a place where precision medicine will hopefully play a role, where we can identify either based on clinical characteristics or biomarkers, who are those highest risk patients who are most likely to develop with specific blockade of specific pathways. And then, you know, putting those patients into a much more aggressive regimen up front, where you're combining two therapies, maybe even three therapies, and then rapidly de-escalating to one therapy alone. And I think that's where there's a, you know, there's a big need. There's a lot of research to be done. And even in addition to some of these ideas of combining biologic, combining other things that patients are very interested in, like diet or other, you know, other natural remedies in addition to biologic therapy, I think are areas that are ongoing research that I think in the next, you know, two to five years, we're going to be thinking about how we induce remission much differently than what we're doing right now.
I want to thank you, Dr. Ongaro, for your insights. This has been a really informative session for me, and I'm sure for the audience. This concludes our second in a series of four podcasts titled Histologic Remission as a Treatment Target in Ulcerative Colitis. Is it ready for prime time? Thanks to all of our listeners for joining us. And in the next podcast, Dr. Paladaridis will join Dr. Ongaro to discuss the clinical application of pathologic findings associated with moderate to severe UC. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I would like to give a special thank you to Eli Lilly, who provided an unrestricted educational grant for this activity.